Well, welcome back to iFaith Video Message 67. We're in a series on the books of the law, that is, Genesis to Deuteronomy. We've already covered Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. Last time we had a talk titled Jesus and the Snake. That was from Numbers 21, where we saw, what was a very unusual passage in the Old Testament becomes a primary illustration for the death of Jesus and the salvation he brings in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John. I hope you enjoyed that. Well, this time we're going to be in Numbers chapter 25, and again, it's a story. And one question that I think this answers, this passage, is what is biblical zeal? I contend that zeal is a quality that's poorly understood in the Christian world. And I don't just mean by millions of people who don't read their Bible. I'm talking about people who do read the Bible. The concept of zeal is very misunderstood. And I think Phineas will help us to get a biblical perspective here. Now, Israel are still not in the promised land. This is the time when Moses is alive and he's leading them. And as often happened, there were some dark days. Numbers 25:1. When Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to commit sexual immorality with the daughters of Moab. These women invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. And then the people ate and bowed down to their gods. When Israel joined themselves to Baal, or Baal Peor, the anger of the Lord flared up against Israel. The most dangerous thing about Canaan, about the promised land, was not military resistance. It wasn't the specter of disease. Most dangerous things was the Canaanites themselves, that their culture would be uncritically adopted, swallowed by the Israelites, and that Israel would lose its distinctiveness. It would no longer be holy. And this is happening even before they go into the promised land. I'll just tell you, apart from some bright days and part of Joshua's life, things go downhill very, very quickly. As we read the book of Judges and 1 Samuel, we can see that Israel, they just adopted Canaanite culture. In many ways, they became like the Canaanites. Here, there's been dinner invitations, so to speak. Highly placed Moabite women, of course, Moab is one of those nations that's east of the Jordan, that resisted Israel. The Moabite women are making liaisons with Israelite men, and they're having sex. They're having intercourse. So this is not unrelated to the dinner invitation. It says the women invited people to the sacrifices of their gods. In the ancient world, it was common when meat was offered to a god that there would then be a banquet with that idol meat. And the banquet would include generous amounts of alcohol and typically lead to sexual immorality of various kinds after the meal. The people ate and bowed down to their gods. And it says Israel joined themselves to Baal Peor. It's more than just the physical connection of sex between a man and a woman. Israel was being spiritually unfaithful, committing spiritual adultery by this relationship with Moab. And God's anger flares up. There is real danger in accommodating to the world. It's true now. It was true in New Testament times. It's true in Old Testament times. In New Testament times, the Corinthians, for example, were invited to dinner parties. They would be followed. The parties would end in various kinds of immorality. And Paul talks about that and basically says we need to keep our distance. It's not just that we shouldn't be part of it, 1 Corinthians 6. We need to carefully consider the impact of our example on others, 1 Corinthians 8:1 to 11:1. We need to be willing to give up our rights. Well, Baal, or Baal as he's often called, Baal was the popular god in the land of Canaan, and even a little bit outside. He's in control of the weather. This god helps you become prosperous. So it's a very attractive god. Think Mammon and Aphrodite combined, you know, the god of money, materialism, and the sex goddess together, exerting an incredibly magnetic pull on people, including Israel. The Lord said to Moses, arrest all the leaders of the people. Hang them up before the Lord in broad daylight, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you must execute those of his men who were joined to Baal Peor. My introduction was longer than normal, but I had to share those things because otherwise our flippant and very quick reaction is, well, that's intense. What, the leaders have to die just because they, you know, they're practicing religious diversity or they're, you know, they're having a moment of weakness. This is a very serious sin. And those most responsible are the leaders, not only because they failed to prevent it, but many of them were leading the way. God's jealousy, and his jealousy unlike ours, is sinless. But it is holy. It's white hot. It will not be compromised. It's a godly jealousy. The way we should be jealous, we shouldn't think that we'll share our spouse with someone else. No, that's a proper jealousy. God punishes sin, and God detests idolatry. Let's see what happens now. Brace yourself as I continue reading in Numbers 25. Just then, one of the Israelites, we learn soon he's a leader from the tribe of Simeon, he came and he brought to his brothers a Midianite woman. And we learn later that's a daughter of a leader. Did I say Midianite? Yeah, I think that's what the passage actually says. So these different tribes are overlapping. In plain view of Moses and of the whole community of the Israelites, while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. We have Israelites, maybe not the majority, but they're disturbed. They're deeply aggrieved at what's going on. And at that time, a high-up Israelite and a high-up Midianite woman, they walk right past the tent of meeting. This will be the tabernacle, eventually the temple. This is where God manifests his presence. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he got up from the assembly, took a javelin in his hand, and went after the Israelite man into the tent. And he thrust through the Israelite man and into the woman's abdomen, so the plague was stopped from the Israelites. Those that died in the plague were 24,000. Okay, I know. We tend to react, oh, all these people dying, maybe it wasn't their fault. No, it was their fault. In fact, probably a lot more than 24,000 were guilty. This is outrageous behavior. Again, in modern liberal thought, we think that's outrageous that Phinehas would take a spear and skewer these two people who were copulating. The outrage is actually the flagrant disregard for God's holiness. Why would this Israelite leader think he can walk right past Moses, right past the tent of meeting, and go into his tent and have sex with this woman as though, you know, it's casual, it's no big deal? That is outrageous. And we know that they're engaged in the act because when Phinehas spears him, the spear continues through him and it goes right into the woman. He's on top of her. But in the meantime, a plague has started. Sin has terrible consequences. Thousands of people are dying. Phinehas is a leader who acted on conviction, and he exemplifies zeal. Now, just wait a moment. The New Testament and the teaching of Jesus are different than much of the teaching of the Old Testament. We're still called to have zeal. That doesn't mean that we're allowed to put spears through people. You can't go running through the community with swords and kill 3,000 sinners, as the Levites were once asked to do in Exodus 32. Jesus actually said, don't draw the sword. You draw the sword, you'll die by the sword. We're to treat our enemies and our brothers and sisters with gentleness. But the Old Testament in some ways is more physical than the New Testament. So try to get past that to see the really important lesson. I'm reminded of a psalm, actually a single verse from Psalm 118. Streams of tears, actually this is Psalm 119. Verse 136, streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. There the psalmist is deeply distressed that people are nonchalant about God's law. Phinehas is deeply distressed. He's jealous for God. Jealous and zealous are very closely connected words. Zeal, in other words, has to do with jealousy. In fact, jealousy for the things of God. Look at God's reaction. Look what God says about Phinehas. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, when he manifested such zeal for my sake among them, so that I did not consume the Israelites in my zeal. Therefore, announce, I'm going to give Phinehas a covenant of peace. It will be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of a permanent priesthood, because he's been zealous for his God, and he made atonement for the Israelites." Now, that is our passage. Phinehas is commended for his zeal, because he was zealous for God. He was jealous for God on God's behalf. And as a result, this is going to make a blessing, not just for him and his descendants, but for generations from then on. God commends Phinehas for his zeal. God commends those who take a stand for righteousness. We read in Psalm 105, and this is an historical psalm reflecting on some of the persons of faith. Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was checked, and this was credited to him as righteousness for endless generations to come. Credited to him as righteous, that sounds like God speaking of Abraham in Genesis 15, or Paul referring to that event in the book of Romans. And so it is. This is zeal. Now, zeal is not just being energetic or being fidgety. Some people, it's not even a productive energetic quality. It's just they're constantly distracted and fidgety. No, zeal is not being loud. It's not saying amen or hallelujah and frightening people around you by your intensity. Zeal and intensity are not even really that related. Zeal has to do with concern for God's honor. And when someone is zealous, they'll be so deeply shocked by nonchalant, sinful behavior, particularly among God's people, that they will say something, they'll do something. That's the zealous person. It's zealous person is not the person who's loud. It's the person who takes action. Now, you can learn more about Phinehas in Joshua 22 and in Judges chapter 20. He was highly respected among the Jews. He's mentioned in the apocryphal books of the Old Testament, 1 Maccabees and Sirach. He's mentioned in the Dead Sea Scrolls 3 times. This is a really significant person. We need to learn from him. Okay, let's wrap it up. Let's land at a plane. If we're going to be zealous, firstly, we need to understand what real zeal is. And Phinehas gives us a key to open that door, to look in and see, oh, that's zeal. Zeal's not hyperventilating and just being obnoxious or loud. That's not what zeal is. Zeal is not doing something even wholeheartedly, although that's important to do things wholeheartedly, right? Ecclesiastes 9, Romans 12. We want to do things wholeheartedly, but that's not the same thing as zeal either. Zeal is different, and Phinehas shows us that's fighting for God's honor. If we're going to be zealous, we will need a steady diet of the Word of God and wholesome Christian reading. We need an energetic lifestyle. Now, I'm just saying this because if we're not energetic, we're physiologically not very likely to be bold and to do things like Phinehas, that is, to take sin seriously. It'll be useful if we eat well, avoid too much fat, and avoid sugary drinks, obviously, and too much sugar. We should cultivate the spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, confession, solitude. That's important if we're going to be zealous. We need to be on God's wavelength. Let's not mistake energy, again, or volume or agreement with the program with zeal. We need to call the brothers and sisters to true zeal, biblical zeal, Romans 12:11. And that means calling them to maturity. This was Paul's passion in Colossians 1. Look at the last couple verses in the very beginning of Colossians 2. He had a passion to call brothers and sisters to that kind of maturity. People he knew, people he had never even met. He expected that that's what a Christian does. And so zeal is not just about us obeying God. It's not just about you and me obeying God. But it's about expecting all of God's people to be holy and to be obedient. I hope this helps us see what zeal is. This video message, Phinehas and the Spear, remember it. Next time you're asked to share thoughts on zeal, think of Phinehas, because he's the one God's people of old thought of. Thanks for listening. Next time, we'll be beginning the book of Deuteronomy.